I'm presenting some of my master's work today. Plum curculio is native to eastern North America, where it is a pest of tree fruit. In Michigan, I'm concentrating on apple and cherry. So this is some damage on apple. These are ovipositioned scars. For fruit that stay on the tree and do not abscise from the tree, these ovipositioned scars can cause cosmetic damage to the fruit, so they can't be sold for fresh market. In tart cherries, there's a zero tolerance for larvae in processed fruit. There are very few organic management tactics for managing plum curculio in these orchards. Used very often is repeated kale and clay coverage and a push-pull strategy using Pyganic, and now some researchers are looking at integrating livestock into apples. This is the life history of plum curculio. The adult emerges from overwintering habitat in the spring, and this is usually wooded edges around the orchard. They oviposit in fruit, and the larvae develop in fruit and emerge as fourth instars and burrow into the soil to pupate. And then the overwintering generation goes back to the habitat. This is in Michigan, where there's only one generation per year. So for my master's work, what I'm looking at are entomopathogenic fungi and entomopathogenic nematodes to control these susceptible stages of plum curculio. What I'm concentrating on my talk today is the fourth instar. When you're targeting the fourth instar in the soil, we're operating on the assumption that targeting these will reduce damage the next year, but since plum curculio isn't immigrating into the orchard, it might be immigrating from alternative host species that are on the orchard, such as wild plum thickets. What's been studied in the past, because the adult that is ovipositing in a fruit is targeted with organophosphates. There have been phenology models looking at oviposition in fruit, but there has been a lot less work done looking at larval emergence, because this isn't the targeted stage. This has been done in New Jersey blueberry and in West Virginia tree fruit, but this has not been done in Michigan. It hasn't been reported. So these entomopathogens, you need this information to make a phenology model so that you can make recommendations to growers of when to use these entomopathogens. So the objectives I'm presenting today are pathogen efficacy of one fungus and two nematodes, and I'm going to look at the phenology based on a degree day scale, looking at the two crops and by region in Michigan. So how I selected my entomopathogens, I looked at the literature, and there have been some lab bioassays and field trials with Steinernema or heterorhabditis nematodes, notably Shapiro Elan's group in Georgia. And also there's a quarantine population of plum curculio in Utah, so they were looking at nematodes to control that in home fruit yards where the homeowners don't want to use harder chemicals. There were also some laboratory bioassays with the fungus Metarhizium anisopliae. We tried this last year, but it was ineffective. And a field trial reported with Bovaria bassiana was ineffective in 2006, but we did find some efficacy in 2005, so we wanted to try it again. I placed larvae on the surface of enclosed pots, and they were installed under the drip line of trees in five orchards. The soil surface of each pot was treated with a pathogen on day zero. My response variable is the number of adults emerging from the pots. These are the pathogens I selected. Mycotrol O is available for organic certified farmers. We used heterorhabditis bacteriophora, strain collected in Utah, and this was not in any formulation, and Steinernema Rio Brave as biovector. This is a gel formulation. Our control was water. I looked at one rate for the fungus and two rates for each of the nematodes. And I introduced larvae to the soil minus 10, minus 5, 0, 5, 10, 15, or 20 days from the pathogen application. So day zero is the pathogen application timing. HBAC was not tested for some of these timings. So this is 36 treatments total, and there were 8 pots for each treatment in each orchard, and this was conducted under 2 rows in the orchards. So these are my results. I did my statistical analyses within each of the day timings, so the asterisk notes where I had significant differences. This was in 5 days before the same day as the pathogen application and 10 days after the application. And my Abbott's corrected mortalities were 66% for 5 days before and 50% for 0 days after. And this is a lot lower than I had for last year, where I only tested 0 days after and 5 days after. I had 80 to 90% efficacy there. So maybe these day timings would be the only ones that are acceptable for growers. But when I look at each orchard separately, the first 3 orchards are tart cherry orchards, which are very sandy. And the last 2 orchards are organic apple orchards, which have much less sand. And we think that nematode motility is inhibited by small pore size of soil substrates. And I have much higher values for Abbott's corrected mortalities. This is only in the S. Rio Bravo high rate treatments. So in review, Steinonema Rio Bravo significantly suppressed adult emergence when larvae were added minus 5, 0, and 10 days after the pathogen, but curiously not 5 days after the pathogen was added. So we think maybe this has to do with environmental conditions, soil moisture, and my Abbott's corrected mortality means we're highest in certain orchard types, the sandy orchards. In my experiment design using these pots, I have a really high density of larvae, and so this percent control might be inflated because of nematode cycling. I had high experimental error because of ant predation in my plots. While larvae were burrowing, we removed any pots that we observed ant predation in. So this contributed to my experimental error. If someone did this experiment and just had fruits on the soil instead of just putting larvae on the soil, maybe that would reduce ant predation. And Steinonema Rio Bravo is not available for certified organic farmers. So the difference between HBAC and S. Rio Bravo might be explained by the formulation of S. Rio Bravo. So now I'm going to go into the phenology part of my study. We sampled fruits from orchards in Northwest, Central, and Southwest Michigan. We had an early sample date and a late sample date. And samples were picked from the tree and the ground, but we did not use apples on the tree for the analysis because the larvae are killed by the growing fruit if the fruits do not have size from the tree, and we couldn't say whether or not the fruit would have abscised from the tree. We excluded samples that had less than 10 larvae emerging out, and these are 100 fruits per sample. So these are the number of observations for each of the crops we looked at. The fruits were held on trays for larval emergence, and we kept track of the degree days from March 1st. And we also immediately dissected 100 of these fruits, but I'm not presenting that data today. Emergence curves were fit for with the Weibull equation in SAS. And your solid line is the apples and the dotted line is tart cherries. So for tart cherry, they came out earlier than an apple. Here your solid is tart cherry from the ground and tart cherry from the tree. So the fruit that remains on the ground, the larvae emerge faster. And then here's northwest apple and central region apple. And in central region, there was a difference in that. So there was 18 days from 15% to 85% emergence in apple, and a much larger 27 days from 15% to 85% emergence in tart cherry. And this difference might be, sample size might be contributing to this difference, because the sample size was larger in tart cherry and this would flatten our curve. So next year we'd be making our sample sizes more closely related. And scouts may have to look at cherries on the ground to determine the time of larval emergence. And there, it was surprising to see a regional difference, because maybe we would have to make a different model for each region between Northwest and Central. And also, we hypothesized that sweet cherry emergence was earlier than tart cherry emergence, and this was only by a few days. This is also influenced by sample size. I'd like to acknowledge our funding partners and technical assistants.
We have time for one super brief question.
Yeah.
In your first experiment, I mean, looking at the way you introduce the lab, is it possible to control the ants before you introduce the lab? I'm using something like Ambro or something.
The question was whether we could reduce ant predation by treating with a chemical around the plots. I didn't try that. I suppose it's possible, but